The sermon text that I chose for today, for this Memorial Day weekend, is Psalm 67, which you all just read. And I've got, I think it's appropriate. So let's talk about Psalm 67. Bet you didn't know it, but Psalm 67 is one of four psalms in a row that are liturgical hymns. I know that really thrills you. But let me tell you more about Psalm 67. It's actually pretty neat. Okay? Do you know what a chiasm is? Who here knows what a chiasm? Bruce, no, I'm not counting you. Okay? Bruce knows what a chiasm is. Anybody else? A chiasm, I know you were just waiting to get to church today to find out what a chiasm is. A chiasm is a little different way of organizing or presenting an idea. Okay, so in Western thought, in Greco-Roman thought, we do logic like A, B, C, D, conclusion. Dave's right in front of the conclusion, as usual. So that's the way we think, right? Okay, well, a chiasm presents an idea in a different way. It's got like a sandwich. The meat is in the middle. It's like a concentric circle. You know, what an archery target looks like with a bullseye right in the middle and then concentric circles around it? Well, that's what a chiasm is like. Okay, it's an idea organized around a central thought. So if you look in your bulletin, there's seven verses in Psalm 67. Okay? Now, you kind of work your way in and then work your way out. Okay, with the central idea as kind of the holding things together. Okay, so you'll notice that the outside verses 1 and 7. Well, let's step back a second. So this is a chiasm in three different ways. One, with the type of verbs that you use, which are used by the psalmist, which you're only going to get in Hebrew. But a second way is just simply by the word count. So if you look at the first verse and the last verse in Hebrew, that is seven words. Okay? First verse and last verse have seven words. And you step in, the second verse and the sixth verse have six words. And the same thing, you step one more verse in for the refrain, six words, verses 3 and 5. And then the central verse is the longest verse. You notice in your bulletin it has three lines instead of two. 11 words in Hebrew. Okay? So it kind of, this is the progression. Okay? Now, you'll also notice the thought progression here, which is probably way more important than word count. Okay? So we start on the outside, and it's may God bless us. May God bless us. Be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us. Does that sound familiar? Yeah, it's what's called the Aaronic blessing, that blessing that God gave to Aaron, the brother of Moses, high priest, first high priest of the people of Israel in the desert. He said, use this to put my name on the people. That's the Aaronic blessing that we use at the end of our service. So it's actually pretty cool that just like the Psalm 67, we have the blessing at the beginning. What is the blessing? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The name of the Lord is put on you and put on us at the beginning of the service. And then at the end of our service, we get the Aaronic blessing again. The blessing that God gives his name upon his people. Okay? So it's kind of like the Psalm. Okay? That's just one cool thing for me. Okay. All right, so that's the inside and the out, the two borders of the psalm. Look at the last verse. The last verse is about what? God blessing us. May God bless us again. You could translate it that way. Okay, let's step in one verse. What is that about? Both verse 2 and verse 6 talk about the earth. The earth yielding its increase in one case, that your way may be known on earth in verse 2. That your way may be known on earth, and we'll talk about that. Your saving power, we'll talk about that even more, among the nations. Okay? David wrote this, I believe David wrote this psalm, to be used for like national holidays for the people of Israel. Okay? And so I think it's very appropriate for our national, one of our national holidays, Memorial Day. Verse 6 talks about the earth yielding its increase. Really, it's yielding its increase in two ways. First of all, it's like a harvest psalm, okay? So when you bring in the harvest, it's like Thanksgiving. This psalm, Psalm 67, is also appointed for Thanksgiving, okay? Very appropriate. You look at the earth yielding its increase. Now, the thing that you may not catch if you read really fast here is what it's saying that increase is. And that increase is people, human beings that God created, his creatures, believers in him. That's going to be the increase by, at the end of, on the last day, on Judgment Day. It's going to be the peoples who the earth has produced, creatures of God, who will love him and know him. Okay. So let's step in one more verse. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Again, that's exactly the same verse. Coming in and going out from the center. Let the peoples praise you, O God, and let all the peoples praise you. Both verse 3 and verse 5. Okay? Which is the theme of the sermon, I guess. It was really the theme of the last song that we just sang, right? Really, the whole sermon could have been captured in that. Thank you, Dave. he didn't quite steal all my thunder, but... okay, so let's... So you heard that. Let all the peoples praise him. So why? 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 That's the central question. And it's answered in the central verse of the psalm. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. In fact, you know, if you ever watch the news and you see these women in the Middle East doing this kind of, it's called ululating, you know, where your voice goes really high and like that. I can't do it. But you're probably happy. But that's what this is. Ululate for joy. Like sing out. Sing for joy. Okay? Just like the praise band does. Sing for joy. Okay? Why? For you judge the peoples with equity. And you guide the nations on the earth. This is what God does. Okay? And he does it sometimes, you know, strictly in what we would call, you know, like a parent, discipline-wise, but he also does it equitably, like a parent loving their children. And he does it in his own way. You remember Frank Sinatra, and he had this song, My Way, Do It My Way. And when he died, all the commentators said, oh, Frank Sinatra, he did it his way. He lived his way. That's what we all want to do. We all want to live our own way. In verse 2, it says, that your way may be known on earth. Whose way? That God's way may be known on earth. May God be gracious to us and bless us, make his face shine upon us. Why? That your way may be known on earth. Your saving power among all nations. God's way. God's way is not our way. My way is always, I want things done my way. I want things done the way I would like. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, they wanted it their way. They wanted to be like God. They wanted to decide everything for themselves. They wanted to have power for themselves. They wanted to pursue their own way. In America, we celebrate our Declaration of Independence, which is coming up in a couple months. We say life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We chase after happiness. We try to purchase happiness. We try to have it our own way all the time. You know, Burger King, which one of my favorite restaurants, it's you could. What's their slogan? Have it your way, right? Make the sandwich your way, the way you want it. Okay, it's always our way. It's such an American consumerist culture. My way. I want things my way, not God's way. Sometimes, have you heard this one? You know, a parent to a daughter or any child. You know, it's my way or the highway, you know? And sometimes, and maybe you hear that from your boss. I don't know. Or a spouse. but why do we say that? Sometimes it's, a parent might say it just out of, you know, vexation. Like, you know, it's my way or the highway. You know, it's you need to learn it this way because this is the right way, which means it might be the way that keeps you from burning your hand on the stove. Or, you know, how many times do you want to, you know, bake a bread and have it fail or whatever? You know, it's like this is the successful way. Sometimes parents say it out of just vexation, like, you know, I've had enough of this. It's my way or the highway. Sometimes people, any kind of situation, they just want it their way because they just want that power. And they want to tell you what their way is. Or I want to tell you what my way is. Because then it's the way I prefer. And it's my power over you. And it's just kind of a power thing. Now, what is that? Go back to the Garden of Eden, the Tree of Life, and Adam and Eve want to have it their way. They want to have power and dominion over other things, not so that they can take care of them and tend them as God intended, but just so that they could rule. That's a desire to be God. It's a first commandment problem. And it doesn't work. So we say, Lord, let your way be the way. And then it says, that your saving power may be known among all nations. Your saving power. The way of the Lord is through Jesus Christ. That's what I loved about the song that we were singing. It's like, what is God's way? We wouldn't have never figured this out. That he would send his son to be crucified and die and then be raised from the dead? Who would have thunk that? Not me. That's God's way, and it's an amazing way. And it's your way. It's your way to salvation. If you look at verse 2, where it says, your saving power. That's a fair translation. Nothing wrong with the translation. But you could also translate it, and I would translate it this way, your salvation, God's salvation, the way that God has planned for salvation. But one of the cool things is that it's also your salvation. And even more cooler than that, the phrase in Hebrew is Yeshua Teka, which means your Yeshua. Your Jesus. Right there in Psalm 67. Your Jesus. That is the way of your salvation. It's in his name, which he's, guess what? Placing upon you. Just as the beginning of the psalm says. I'm placing God's name upon you. Guess what that name is? Jesus. That you may be saved. From that desire to be all-powerful. From that desire to rule over other people. For that selfish desire to have it your own way. Rather than through the way, the truth, and the life. And why? That you may have life. These things are written that you may believe that by believing in Jesus Christ, your Savior, your Jesus, Yeshua Teka, you may have life in His name. So He places His name on you, Christians, that says live. Have abundant life. Have life to the full. Have life my way. And on the last day, when we're raised from the dead, we will live that way. With justice and with equity and with love for one another and for God. His way. Guess what? We will live that way freely. Because that will be the way we want to live. And be free at last. Let all the peoples praise Him. In Jesus' name, amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I invite you to stand as we confess our Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.